Amen. Wow. What a great time it's been. It's great to be back. Oh, man, I've been just so encouraged this week just the talent that this church has. It's just incredible. I mean, even the whistling, is incredible. I mean, top of the line. And he actually asked my wife if I think Pastor Krell said that my wife and should do a duet together, whistling. And that's why my wife didn't come tonight, because she didn't want to be a part of that. No, she actually didn't come because she was so embarrassed about what I said last night. I didn't even realize it. And she was like, she wasn't able to come. She had an engagement. She's been doing some things on Tuesday nights for the last few months. And I said, so, honey, anything before I go? And she's like, well, just don't. She said, if you bring up Martin Luther, just say Martin Luther. I don't know if any of you caught that last night, but I said Martin Luther King, and I added that. I was talking about Martin Luther, so I'm sorry about that. So I said, why didn't you help me? Why didn't you say something? She said, I was just enjoying the moment, she said. So, oh, man, so she's a blessing to have for sure. Oh, man, so, but, man, just so excited. I feel like this is like the New Testament church must have felt, getting together every day, they said, and praising God and reasoning in the scriptures and encouraging each other unto good works. And man, you guys have been an encouragement to me. Some of you sharing with me that you're fighting against Satan in different ways and that you're being obedient to what the Spirit has told you to do this week. And man, just so thankful for what God's doing in my heart and in you guys and you guys being willing to share. And so very thankful for that. Tonight, I'm going to share with you something that's real near and dear to my heart and something that God, I think, God, it's really my life's verses. And you know them and you can say them by heart, honestly. You can turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. That's where we're going to be tonight. And I hope you don't, just because we're going there, I hope it's not like, oh, I've heard that before, I know that. I'm going to tune that out. I think there's some real deep truths here that we can learn. And the title of what I'm going to talk about tonight is Trusting the God You Believe In. And the reason I say that is because I believe that a lot of my life I've believed in a God that I didn't trust. And I think it's so crucial that we trust the God that we believe in. So, we're going to find ourselves here in Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom. Now, how many of you would say, Seth, you know what? I need, if I need anything, I need a little bit more wisdom. Would that be you? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, that's me. That's me. Yeah. What did Solomon say in 1 Chronicles? Or let me see here. I have it in my notes. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 it is. When he was about to take the throne and God was handing the throne to Solomon, passing it from David to Solomon, what did God tell him? He said, I'll give you whatever you want, just ask. And what did Solomon say? He said, don't give me riches, give me wisdom. And I'll just be honest with you, one of those times in my life, I think that pictures what life really is one day I was working at the family sawmill, right? And it was a hot summer day. And I was about 15 years old. And man, I was hot. And you guys know what hot Snyder County, Pennsylvania summer days are like. I mean, these are days when we would get done working on the green chain at the mill. And we would go out back and we would see who could wring their shirt out because it was so hot that day. And so we would do that. Well, this day it was so hot and I was so sweated wet. And my cousin Luke, who was 2 years younger than me, so at the end of the day, he rides up in his new dirt bike. Okay. Brand new, just got it, rides it into the sawmill, and I am hot. I am just so hot. And Luke looks at me and says, hey, Seth, he's like, how do you like my new dirt bike? I said, oh, man, it looks great, Luke. And Luke says, hey, you want to take it for a spin and cool off? And I was like, oh, yeah, you bet. I would love to. So I hop on the dirt bike, and I take off. And I did not tell Luke that I had never ridden a dirt bike before, okay? that was one thing that I forgot to mention to him. But I understood the dynamics. I understood how to shift the gears and do all those things. So I'm buzzing out and got past the sawmill, and I was in my grandpa's hay field and just let it wide open. I was cooling off, and it was just beautiful. Like, I could see the whole valley, Buckwheat Valley there, and I was cooling off, and it was wonderful. And I got to the end of the field and I spun it around, and I was just so in the moment, you know. And if you ride a motorcycle, maybe you can recognize this with me. So I'm coming back to where Luke is. So I'm riding back in, and he had told a couple other people that he just got a brand new dirt bike. And so they had gathered around waiting for me to come back. And so I'm buzzing in there, and I'm downshifting. And then I realized that I was going to need to brake. And if you guys know dirt bikes, there's two different brakes. There's a back brake, which is the one you want to hit, and there's a front brake. And I couldn't remember which one it was. Okay, and I'm coming down. I'm getting closer, 5 feet, 4 feet. I have to make a decision quick. So I make a decision, and I was in midair instantly, flying through the air like Superman. And I hit the ground, and I got back up, acted like I wasn't hurt. It knocked the wind out of me. I was all scraped up. There's Luke's brand new dirt bike. It's, you know, you can see it. It was red, brand new plastic. Rock scraped all over this new dirt bike because I didn't know what decision to make. And man, I jumped up and I was like, "Luke, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." He was so gracious. He was like, "Hey, no problem, Seth. Hey, you know, I dumped it once too." And I didn't know that, but he had dumped it before he got there. So it didn't feel so bad. But I'll tell you what, I think that's a great picture of life though. Is that, you know what, you're riding along, life seems fine, and you make a poor decision, and it's like it's spinning out of control all of a sudden, boom. You know what, and it's at that moment that you didn't need riches, your friends can't help you, all what you needed was more wisdom. And it's so incredible, because in Proverbs 1, verse 20, Solomon talks about wisdom as someone screaming in the streets saying, "Come, come. If you want wisdom, it's here and it's plentiful." And in James we read that, you know what, if any of you lack wisdom, and what he's saying there is, and we do, he gives it liberally. And you know what? He gives it. He's not stingy with the wisdom that he gives. He wants to give it to everybody because we all need it. And then we get to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And really, this is one of the climaxes of wisdom, the apex of wisdom. Somebody that is wise is somebody that knows that they can't do it on their own. They need to trust the one who knows all things and the one who has all wisdom. So what is wisdom exactly? Wisdom is being able to apply truth to everyday life. Being able to know God's will in your circumstance of life. Whatever circumstance that might be. So how do I do that? Great question. And I think there's three things that we're going to look at in the next few moments that this passage brings out to us tonight. Three things. Let's read these verses together. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You probably don't even have to look down. You can probably just quote them. What does it say? It says this: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight, and we saw this week, and we're so thankful how much you love us, but you want us to love you and make you number one in our lives. And not only that, but you want us to love others. And even the ones that's out to get us, that's how we show that we're a son of God, is that we can love our enemies. Father, and The reason that we do that is because you tell us to, and you're in charge. You're the Lord of our life. And Father, we just want to look at this passage and trust you tonight. Because, Lord, I've spent so much of my time, my life and my time, and you know, I believed in a God that I didn't trust. I believed in you, but I didn't trust you. And so tonight, I pray that, again, you'd refresh my spirit and help us to realize this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So right off the bat, trust in the Lord. I think that's important because right away we see the progression of trusting God. And right off the bat, what does he say? You trust God first. How do you know what you really trust? It's what you run to first. As soon as you have a problem, where do you run? I know when I was little, anytime I had a problem, I knew where I could run for sympathy. And it wasn't my dad, it was my mom. So you know what? Anytime I would get in trouble and I knew I was about ready to get my spanking, I would run to mom for sympathy and for maybe to get a little less hurt or a little less. I remember one day my dad was out with my brother, and he was teaching him to plow a field. And my dad had a big tractor. It was my grandpa's tractor. It was 225 horsepower, had big dualies on it. Was a huge tractor with I can't remember how, but it was a huge disc on the back. I think it was a 22 footer. And so my dad said, "When you get done in the field, Caleb," this is my older brother, he said, "you stay here, don't go anywhere." Okay, so my brother, he's like, okay. So he gets done. He's disking the field. He gets all the way done. And so he sits there for a while. Well, it gets dark. Because my dad, if you know my dad, he loses track of time. You know, people are everything. So if somebody starts talking to him, it's like time doesn't matter. So it starts getting dark. My older brother, he's 12 years old. He's getting a little scared. So he thinks, okay, yeah, I drove the tractor. I'll just drive it home. So, okay, 22-foot disc. He pulls out in the road. My dad had just fixed our high tensile fence where we had our cows. So brand new four strands of wire, brand new poles, and my brother Caleb pulls it out in the road, gets her centered up, and starts hitting the gears. Boom, one, two, three, four, and the whole time he's taking out one, two, three, four fence posts, and then he hits the telephone pole and comes to a dead stop. Boom, and it stalled the tractor. He didn't know what happened. Because it was dark, he couldn't even see what was behind him, but he just got out of the tractor and ran home. That's what he did. He just ran home. And he got to the house, and all I remember him saying was, "Dad's going to kill me, Dad's going to kill me, Dad's going to kill me." And Mom was like, "Dad's not going to kill you, you got to calm down." Well, when Dad came in the house, there was a roar, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But my point is this, my brother ran to my mom, because he knew that that's where he could run for safety and to get some help. And that was his first place to run. And I think all of us boys would say that that's where we ran to get help, because we trusted our mom. Now the question is, you know, now that we're older, you know, mom and dad, they're still around and we still love them, but you know, now we're out from under them. So now where do we run? Who do we trust with the situations that come to life, that the things that happen in our life? You trust who you run to. Who's your first response? So the question comes right away, why trust the Lord? Why would we trust the Lord? Romans 11:33 says this, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." It's because, you know what? God's wisdom is way deeper and goes way further than we could ever know. I think one problem that we have, and especially as a teenager that I had, was, you know what? I got to be a teenager and I learned some things. And you know what? I started thinking right away, oh, I can see life now. I could see it from a different viewpoint, but I thought I had the full-fledged vision, right? I could see my peripherals. I knew where I was going. So I was good to go. You know what? But as you get, as I got older and as I got married, I think was the biggest thing. When I got married, I realized that I couldn't see past the end of my nose. I was, it's kind of like when I was 16, it was kind of like I'm flying the plane. And so, you know, I'm out and I'm talking to control. And the control's telling me in the tower, hey, okay, you got some planes around you. Be careful. You know, we don't want you to bump into anybody. And I started saying to control, hey, I got this. I'm going to land the plane. And control's going, why are you telling us what's going on? You can't see what's happening. Listen to control. And that's really what God is. God is the control tower of our life, and He can see everything. Oh, how unsearchable the wisdom of God. His ways are past us finding out. His ways are higher than our ways. But so often, what do? I say, no, I got this, God, I'll land the plane. And He's going, no, you can't see to land the plane. You can't see it. And then we come to another great passage. What does Job say? Job, a man that went through intense trial and that God brought through some incredible times to prove that he was a man of God. What did Job say? In Job 28:12, he says this, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Job asked the question, and in verse 21, he says, it cannot be found among the living. Job searched among the living because he wanted to know why this was happening to him. Why all these trials? And he said, it's not here. Wisdom's not here. In verses 23 and 24, he says this, God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. God, why trust God? Because he knows you, and he's not bound by time. You know what? As a teenager, I had all these dreams. I was going to go play football for Penn State, right? You know, I'm dripping wet, 125, right? And I'm going to go play for Penn State. But that's what I thought, you know? And there was nothing wrong with that dream. But you know what? God knew where I would be right when I was 16. He knew that one day I'd be standing here in Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene. Man, if you'd have told me that when I was 16, I'd said, no way. I'm no preacher. I don't like to preach. I don't know nothing. And I'm just going to be a logger. That's it. But you know what? God's not bound by time. And you know what? Right now, he knows where you're going to be in 20 years, in 30 years, in 50 years. That's why you can trust God with your life, because he knows. And he is the one that carries the wisdom. Go to God first. That's how you know. So, you know what? Some of us say, no, I have experts in my life, right? I'm sure, you know, when I love being a teenager, because teenagers have all the experts, right? I had a friend that was the love expert. And any time that I had a girl problem, man, I went to my love expert. And he would help me, right? He was always there, and he always had the next thing that I needed to say, right? And then, not only that, but I had my football expert. And he was a weightlifter, and he knew, oh, you got to do this, and you got to try this. And we had all the experts. And you know what? As I grow up, I realize that, you know what? There's tons of experts out there. You know what? There's people that will tell you how to raise your babies, you know, and tell you when to have babies. That's the amazing thing. I got married. Everybody knows when we should have our children. That's except for us. We don't know, you know, but everybody else knows, especially my parents. They really know when we should have our babies. You know, they know for sure. Yeah. But, you know, do you listen to these experts, or do you go to God and really seek his face for the next step and for the next decision that you're about to make? How do you do that? Do you go to him first? That's the question. That's how you know who you trust, is where you go first. What does it say? Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord. That's the progression. So he's first. And then what does it say? With all your heart. What's your heart? Your heart is the core of who you are. What is that? That's your IQ. That's with your intellect. You know what? Some of you are really smart. And you know what? You probably could go, or maybe did go to college with a full ride scholarship. But you know what God says? He says, you know what? You might be really smart, but I want to override that. I want you to put that down and trust me over your intellect. Another part of that is your will. Your will. That what your will is what drives your decisions. It's what you want in life, and that's really what's going to push where you go and where you go to college and what you do and what I'm going to do today and how I'm going to treat my boss because I want to climb the ladder. And God says, you know what? I want your IQ and I want your will. What's driving your dreams? What's pushing the way you run your family, the way you treat your kids? Because you have a will. You want a certain goal for their lives. But God says, no, I want that. Trust me with that. The last thing that I believe in this passage there that the writer is shooting for is your IQ, your will, and your emotions. What's your emotions? Your feelings. And that, you know what? Sometimes you feel a certain way and you feel very passionate about certain things, or you feel very sad, or you feel very happy, or very torn at some times. But you know what, God? God is saying, you know what? I want that too. That, you know what? There's times when you're going to feel like being obedient and you're going to feel like doing what I want, and there's times when you're not. But you know what? I want you to trust me with that. And you give that to me. And so that's the kind of trust that we're talking about here, and that he's talking about, is that you trust him with everything. And you surrender that to him. How do I know if I'm trusting the Lord? He kind of explains this then. What does he say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So how do I know? Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on my own understanding. Oh, okay. So how does my own understanding work? I think a great illustration of this is on the farm where I lived in Snyder County. When we bought the farm, there was this dog, and his name was King. He came with the farm. He was a big collie dog, you know, like one of the sheep dogs that you've seen on Lassie. He looked a lot like that dog. And so we got this dog, and he had a doghouse by the barn, and so how my dad kept him close to the farm and not running off is he had a chain, you know, he had a chain, and it was chained to his collar, and Dad staked it to the ground right next to his doghouse, right? But what King always did was he would start to spin circles. And I felt bad for King, you know, because he'd start going in circles, getting in circles, and he would start to get tight, right? And so he couldn't move. And so I went out there because I realized what was going on, and I was about 5 years old, and I was like, King, no, don't do that. And at first, King was okay with me coming, and he was playing with him, and he was, you know, okay, Seth's out here, he's playing with me. So I tried to untangle him. But you know what? King, at first, thought it was fun. But you know what he started to do? He started to think, he doesn't know what he's doing. And you know what? So he started to fight me. And you know what? So I started going back with King. He started coming around, and he was a little bit, he wanted his way. And finally, I just let him. And you know what? You know what he did? He just wound himself tight. Even though I was right there, and I was trying to help him, he wound himself so tight around that thing that, you know what, he would get so tight that he couldn't move, and his neck was right to the ground. And you know what he'd do then? He would go, and he would want help. But you know what that dog was doing? He was going according to his own understanding. And he was looping and looping and getting himself so tangled up in his circumstance that, you know what? Then when he had no other place to go, then he wanted help. And I'll tell you what, that is so me. I think, you know, at first God's kind of fun to have in my circumstances and to have guiding my life. But you know what? After a while, that's not the way I thought it was going to go. Oh, no. That's not the way my business was supposed to run. No. I was supposed to get better grades. No. I was supposed to start on the team. No. And you know what? You know what I start doing? I start going according to my own understanding. And you know what? When finally my life is in a place where I have no other place to run, then what do? I turn back to God. God, help me. I'm so tangled up in this. I don't know what to do. And that's what your own understanding looks like. You know, and you say, well, he was a dog. Well, you know what? We're people. And you know what? We, like I said before, we have that same vision. The dog doesn't know any better. You know what? And neither do we. Because we can't see far enough down the line. And man, if God leaves us go according to our own understanding, boy, we get so torn up in our circumstance. And finally, what do? God's our last resort instead of our first response. And that's what God's saying here. He wants, if you're going to trust God, he wants to be your first response, not your last resort. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How do you do that? Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't do it. So, trust in the Lord. Trust him completely with everything. Number two, we see in verse 4, or in verse 6. Number two is this. Trust him completely is number one. Number two is trust him intimately. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This is the intimately part. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that look like? In all your ways, acknowledge him. I think a great example is somebody. Let's use a young lady, for instance. She's lived her life for 30 years. And you know what? She's never been married. And you know what? Life was pretty good. She became a school teacher. You know, she got her own house. She got her own car. You know, she learned how to live life really well. But you know what? This young guy comes along, Mr. Wright. Oh, man, Mr. Wright came in, swept her off her feet. He was 2 years older than her. And boy, you know what? They fell in love, and their parents approved, and they went to the preacher, and that was great. And you know what? So they got married. They went on their honeymoon. They come home. And you know what? Her friends call her up, and they say, hey, let's go out for coffee. And you know what? Every time before, she said, absolutely, I'll be right there. But now she's married. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What this looks like is I don't just call the shots like I used to all the time. I have to check in with my spouse now. I learned that real quick with my wife. You know, I was used to just going with the guys, you know, and for some reason I thought hunting season, like she understood what hunting season looked like, you know, and that week it was me and the guys, you know, and you know, and she was very gracious, but you know what, we hadn't discussed that very clearly. And so, you know what, after that week got through, I come home and she's like, so how was hunting? I was like, oh man, we had a great time. It was good. And she's like, you didn't tell me you were going to be gone for 5 days. I thought you were going to be gone for two. And I was like, oh, I see. Okay. And so we sat down and had a long talk about acknowledging. In all your ways, acknowledge. And really, that's why I say trust him intimately. Because it's an intimate trust. It's where, you know what? He wants you to check in with him. In everything that you do. You know, it's kind of like when you go to write a check. Teens, you might not do this very much yet, but you will. When you go to write a check, you have to check in with the bank. Now, you might say, well, I don't call the bank. No, you don't call them, but you mentally check in to make sure that the bank can handle the check that you're writing so that it doesn't bounce, right? And you know what? What we want to start doing with our lives is making sure and checking in with our life banker to make sure that the decision we're making in our life doesn't bounce our life. Because I'll tell you what, that's, I believe, what it's happened to me before. I remember thinking, oh man, I'm making great decisions and I'm moving right along. And all of a sudden, my life exploded in front of my face with one of my friends at college. And I was like, what happened? Man, I'm living for God. I'm trying to do the right stuff. And all of a sudden, I realized, you know what? I didn't check in with God before I made these decisions. And you know what? What I realized, my friend was a godly man. And you know what he did? He took me to scripture and said, see, God tells you how to do it right here. Well, a big thing at college was Matthew 18. You know what? When you had an ought with a brother, how do you handle it? Well, you know what? I was used to handling it the way we did back home. You know, you talked about it for a while, and then when you got around to it, you went to the person, you know, when the time was right. But you could talk about it to make sure you were right first, because I was just checking to make sure that I was right. Because if I'm wrong, I don't want to go to them. So I'm going to check with a couple people. But you know what? God's word's real clear that you don't do that. You got a problem with somebody, you go to them. Boom. And you know what? If I trust God, that's what I do then. I do what he says. I don't do what I think I'm supposed to do. So trust God completely. Trust God intimately. That's what it looks like. So number one, you go to him first. Number two, you check with him. You check in with him in everything that you do. That's the kind of relationship, that's the trust that he wants. And you know what? If you're a married person, you realize this, because I heard of a counselor one time. A man came to him and was like, man, our marriage is not doing well. And he said, well, why not? Well, he said, my wife. He said, every time she has a question about something, she goes to 5 other men before she comes to me and asks me. He said, when she gets around to asking me about what she's thinking about and the question she has in her mind, I don't really have an opinion anymore, because she just went around and asked everybody else. And you know what? That's true. You're like, yeah, well, you don't need my help. You just went ahead and asked everybody else. And you know what James calls that in James 1:8? James calls that a double-minded person. You know what? It's somebody that wants God, but also wants the world, you could say, or wants what they want. And you know what James says about double-minded people that don't trust God intimately? He says this, that you know what? They're unstable in all their ways. Because they always have one foot in one side and one foot in the other. Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters. It's impossible. You can't be a slave to two. And you know what it says at the end of that, though? And this is the real important thing. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know what? What happens to people on Sunday so often, when they come to church and they hear God's word and God pricks their heart and they say yes to the Lord, you know what? On Monday, they cancel it out. Because you know what? On Sunday, they're like, yes, I'll do it. But you know what? Then they go on Monday and they start living according to what they think again. And it's so easy, because I'm a product of it. I used to always do that. I would be like, well, it's different at the mill, you know. The church is one thing, but you know, at the mill it's different. It's common sense over there, you know. You got to live by common sense. All that Bible stuff doesn't always work at the mill. And I realized was that common sense wasn't so common You know what I mean? Because I got myself in a pickle after pickle with different people at the mill and got myself in trouble with my uncles and this and that. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And I was canceling out what God was trying to do in my life on Sunday. Because on Monday, I was going back to the way I think and the way I do things. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. How shall that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord? And sometimes I think we wonder why our prayers aren't answered. Why, you know what, we're praying for something a certain way, and we think that our life should be this way and this relationship should change. But you know what, you're praying, but you're doing something completely different than what God says. So number one, trust Him right now. Make Him your first go-to. Number two, trust Him intimately with everything that you do. And don't go around to everybody else. He's first. He's first, and He's in everything that you do. And lastly, look at what it says. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Wow. How about that? He will make your paths straight. Trust God completely, trust God intimately, and trust God continually. So, I'll be honest with you. He shall direct your paths. When I am at a new place, like here, like, I mean, this place isn't real new to me, but when I'm going to a new place, like Mr. Shorman was so kind and let me come over Sunday afternoon, and when he was like, now, do you want to drive, or how do you, I said, I don't mind driving, but I'm following you directly behind you because I get lost super easy. And you know, the truth is, you know, when I go to a new place, I don't know what the roads are doing. I don't know where the roadblocks are. I don't know where the road work is, where the shortcuts are, how to get there the quickest, what's going to happen to me. Oh, don't go past this guy. He has a bad dog, you know, whatever. But I don't know all those things. But you know what? Neil Shorman knew. So you know what? I have been on roads that I had never been on before to get to his house. And you know what? It was the fastest way. It was like, shoo, shoo, shoo. Oh, there we are. Well, then I go to leave, and he's like, oh, you'll never be able to get that way. You're going to have to take a left. It'll be a little longer, but this is the easiest way to get out to where. And so he had to send me a different way. But here's the point. God will make your paths straight. If you trust God, He will lay out the way He wants for you to go. And it's not going to be hard, is the idea. It's not going to be hard to decipher. Not saying that life's going to be easy, but you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is right where God wants me to go. This is right what He wants me to do. And you know what? If I'm trusting Him, He'll lead me through it. And you know what? So many times with God, whenever I would do this, and like I say, why do I say whenever I would do this? It's because I don't do this all the time. This is something that God is preaching to me tonight. And so whenever He would make a path open in my mind, you know what? It was usually something that seemed impossible to me. I'll be honest with you. Being a camp director at a Christian camp, 300 acres, 3,500 people this past year, I was like, this is impossible, God. I can't do it. And you know what? He was like, you're right. You can't. That's why I want you to walk this path. Because you know what? When you walk this path, I'll get the glory. And you know what? I'll take care of any problems that come along the way. So, you know what? He's going to make it very clear. And any obstacles that arise, if you're trusting God, you know what? He'll allow you to get through them. Some translations and some books that I read say that He will actually even move them for you. So the question is tonight, do you trust God the way that He wants to be trusted? How do I know if I'm not trusting? I think this is a key point as we end. How do I know if I'm not trusting? How do you do with fear? How's your fear level tonight? How about your worry level? Are you worrying about something? Does something really have you tied up in knots? Maybe you're having a hard time eating. Anxiety is another big one. And you know what? I think another one that is a big tell and is more my mentality is anger. Yeah, do you have anger in your life? These are some tells in your life that, you know what, I'm not trusting God with certain things. I haven't gone to Him. He hasn't been my first. He wasn't the one that I asked about before I made the decision. And you know what? I didn't really look out ahead and have God's input in my life as I'm walking down this life's road. And you know what that'll start to do to you? You know what? That's when fear comes in. Because you start realizing you're out of control. You don't have control of your circumstances. And boy, that's a scary position to be in. But you know what? If you know that God is in control and you're trusting Him, you know what? You can rest easy. You know what? Just like the way you're sitting in your pew right there, every one of you tonight, I realized that, you know what? I don't see any of you sitting there with your hands on the pew just a little bit, just because you're not 100% sure if that pew's going to hold you up through this whole service. Like you're like half in, half out. You're like, man, this thing might go down, so I'm ready to pop up at any moment. There's a little bit of me in here. You know, I trust this pew, but I need a little bit of me. I don't see any of you guys doing that. I see all you guys resting secure in that pew is going to hold you, and you put your whole weight in that pew. And you know what? That's the same type of trust that God's looking for in us. That, you know what? We're resting completely in Him. There's no me in this. No, I'm not trusting in me just in case God gives out on me or he gives up on me. Nope, he wants you to rest fully in who He is. That He's a God that sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And you know what? He's not just the author of your faith, but He's the finisher of your faith. And you know what? He is going to work out your life for your good and for His good pleasure. That's what He's doing right now. So number one, do you go to Him first? Do you trust Him entirely? Do you trust Him intimately? With everything that comes into your life, have you been bringing it to God? And you know what? As you look down your life, you know what? Have you allowed Him to direct your path? And have you brought that to Him tonight? You know what? This is just another way that, you know what? As we go out from here and get into Mifflinburg, and tomorrow as we work at our workplace or at the school where we go to school, you know what? This is just another way where we can show people that we are sons of God, that we're followers of His. When they say, what are you doing? You know what? I'm praying about that. I'm not sure. I'm going to God with that. You know what? And he's gonna direct me, and I know He will. You know? Oh, you go to God with something so small as that? You bet I do. You know what? Because He cares about everything, and He wants me to trust Him with everything. He's got my back on everything. You don't go to your mom? Nope, I don't. You know what? Because I go to Him first, because that's what He wants from me. And man, I'll tell you what, radically changing the face of you in your environment, wherever God has planted you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You for tonight, and we thank You for Your word. And Lord, this is one of my favorite passages. You know, this is my life. This is something that You've used and You've been working in me since I was about 16 years old. You brought this verse to me, and it's just become so real. And Lord, tonight, I just pray for those that are thinking, that maybe it struck a chord with them that this isn't a way that they trust You. Father, I thank tonight that uh, that tonight that they would just give that over to you. Maybe they need to go to you first. Maybe they don't go to you with everything. Or maybe their path, you know what? They haven't seen it from your eyes. But tonight, they realize that they need to. And I pray that you would make that very real. And just keep your heads bowed as Pastor Krell comes and closes the service.